get on the train. Pimpin' ain't easy.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Pod It Ain't Easy here on the Rogue Opinions podcast and feed. I'm your host for this episode, Scott McLeod. We're here to cover episode 4, season 2 of Loki. And joining me today, as always, is the Joey Triviani to my Chandler Bing. He is Carl Pierce. Hello, Carl.
Hello, you alright?
I'm alright, yeah, sorry. I couldn't think of anything Loki related, but I thought, you know, the second Rogue Opinions podcast in a row, we've had to speak about someone who sadly passed away in the last week or so. You know, the sad passing of Matthew Perry, aged just 54. It is quite sad. And I was actually thinking about a lot about Friends recently. And I think as time goes on, Chandler's actually become my favourite character.
Yeah, he was a great character in Friends. And you know, I pretty much grew up watching Friends. I think I was about 14 when it premiered in 1994, and you know, it's a show that I've always enjoyed watching, and you know, watch the reruns when they've rerun it on Channel 4 and other channels and streaming platforms. And yeah, it's sad to be sad to watch it knowing that he's gone.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not a show that was, well, I wasn't born yet when it started, but it was definitely a show that from my earliest memory, I think I remember seeing it on TV because it was still going when I was, as I was watching it was still going. I remember seeing the finale as it aired and how emotional that was. And then, like you said, the constant reruns, you can feel like you never escape it on TV nowadays, and you know, all the series are on Netflix. I think every couple of years, I think I do a full rewatch of all 10 seasons. And it is one of those shows that you can, because it's on so much, you can start to develop a love-hate relationship where you hate it because it's on so often. Then you give it a while and then you go back and watch it. No, actually, I remember why I love this show.
Yeah, I must admit, I had a bit of that at one time in the sort of mid-2000s when it always seemed to be on. I'd always seem to catch like the same few episodes somehow. I've seen this episode 3 times already.
I know. I didn't even realise that the Barbados one was a two-parter, because I remember whenever it was on TV when I was watching it, they just aired it as one big episode from what I remember. So I remember watching it one time, like, Jesus, this episode's gone on a bit. I remember, actually, I think I watched it live when the finale happened, because I think they then aired the Joey spin-off first episode of that immediately after on and UK TV, and well, less said about that the better. But it's weird, like, we see different generations of people reacting to Friends, and that, you know, there are people who like certain characters who are a certain generation, but like there's people who watch it back who don't like certain characters. Like, there seemed to be this weird movement of people disliking Chandler for being too annoying. But I think I feel like I am the sarcastic one in my friend group. I think I realised, like, maybe that's why I identify with Chandler so much, because every group's got a Chandler.
Yeah, definitely. And if you don't think your group's got a Chandler, then it's probably you.
It is probably you. And I got into an argument with, I've got an argument with Paul over Friends, because we both love the show. I think Monica's his favourite character. But I've expressed the fact that my least favourite friend, and I realise this through my multiple rewatches, I've decided Rachel's my least favourite of all 6 of them. And that is really, that really pisses Paul off. It really almost led to the end of Scott and Paul's Rowland podcast as we know it.
Yeah, I could probably agree with you there, actually. I could probably say, I mean, not that I dislike Rachel, but yeah, probably my least favourite. And yeah, I can see where your friend's coming from with Monica, to be fair.
So it's so that when he told me that he'd got engaged late last year, he did so by sending me a gif of Monica from that scene where she and Chandler get engaged, and she's yelling it off her balcony out the street. Yeah, I mean, Friends is a show that obviously everybody knows, everyone had their fond memories. So let us know what your memories of Friends are, of Matthew Perry as Chandler. at @rogue_page on Twitter. But you know, I just felt like it was something we had to take out. No, it's pretty, quite a serious one in terms of pop culture. It's somebody everybody knows. I saw it right before I was meant to go to bed. I'm like, oh, geez, I'm not going to sleep now.
I sort of woke up to the news on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Jeez, it's been a year for, I mean, death of any person in the public eye is obviously somewhat shocking, but for me personally, there have been quite a few deaths this year that have gotten to me. The first there was Bray Wyatt and now this, and I'm sure there are other ones that I'm not remembering at this current point of time, but Jesus, 2023 has been a rough one.
Yeah, I know. For me, Bobby Charlton, Manchester United legend's the one that hit pretty hard for me this year.
Yeah. I seen someone post on Twitter somewhere only 9 weeks left of 2023, which I always think, oh, Jesus, where the fuck is this year? Where has this year gotten to? And that there's still so much quality to come over the next 9 weeks. Moving back towards the Marvel theme, and that's what we're here talking about. I keep forgetting that the Marvels is still to come out this year. It's coming out on the 10th of November.
I keep forgetting about that. I'm not sure I'm going to be rushing out to watch that one, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think it's one that's high on everyone's kind of list, because, I mean, you've had Ant-Man, Quantumania, which wasn't anybody's favourite. You had Guardians, which a lot of people obviously love. So I don't know whereabouts on the spectrum this one's gonna land. I mean, I'm looking forward to the kind of group dynamic here. You had some people don't like the poster they've put, which is just a bunch of cats, because also they've got Goose. Obviously, there's a character in it, and so it's just a bunch of cats on the Marvel's poster. But yeah, there's a bus station near where I work as an advert for it, so it's only whenever I drive past it on the bus that I can remind myself and work that's coming out soon, because I do recall us talking about it, but then other than when a trailer comes out, literally there's been zero discussion around this movie coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely check it out when it lands on Disney Plus, but you know me going to the cinema these days, but I definitely won't be going out my way for that one. But it could be a reasonable watch on Disney Plus.
I don't think it's gonna be one that blows away. I think it's gonna shoot for somewhere right in the middle there, right in the middle of your MCU ranking, if you have one.
Yeah,
we did do an MCU ranking. It's on episode of Rank Bang. It's out now in the back catalogue of MCU films, and the same day that this is out, our ranked bank of The Boys should be out. I listened back to it when I was editing. I think it's one of the most fun ones that we've ever done, basically given the juvenile joke to make when we're adding a certain love sausage.
Yeah, so that was a really fun one to do, and well worth a listen.
Here's our random thing in terms of things that we've thought about, films that you haven't been able to see. I obviously, when it came out, wanted to go see Transformers Rise of the Beast, but I didn't get a chance to go see it when it was out. And the main streaming platform I can see it on is Paramount Plus, and even though they've also got Frasier on it, I refuse to shell for another bloody streaming service, so I basically, out of principle, refuse to get Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I don't blame you. There's that many streaming services now, it's getting silly.
Yeah. Apparently even fucking Lionsgate's got its own streaming service. God knows what's fucking on that. I barely even get around to seeing what's on Apple TV.
I didn't even know Lionsgate had one, to be honest. That's news to me.
But apparently they do. I can't remember what it's even called. Probably got some shit name. But my point is, it's one of the first times in a while, because I've seen a bunch of copies of it for sale in my local HMV. I'm thinking, Christmas is coming up. This may be the first time in a long time where I've had to as for a physical copy of a movie in a long time. I still get the odd video game and everything, but thinking I may actually ask for a bit of physical media at Christmas time. What year is this now?
Scott, going back a decade.
I know, I used to ask for DVDs all the time. I've got a whole fucking cupboards full of DVDs.
Yeah,
I save them for whenever the internet's in, can't you stream on the internet's out? Oh, well, might as well dust off some of these DVDs.
Yeah, I have loads. I've whittled mine down a fair bit these days, but I still keep, I think it's good to keep a few physical media, like you say, just in case the internet goes down for a couple of days or something.
Yes, and when the apocalypse comes, we all go into our bunkers, we'll need something to watch.
Exactly.
But, you know, speaking of apocalypses, there's a segue. It feels like everything's falling apart in Loki. So we'll delve right into that episode. It's episode 4, season 2, as I said. And they get the MCU logo, but kind of a rushed version. It then zooms back out of the logo through the secret timeline, which, you know, a similar shot to when we first saw that Citadel at the end of time, at the end of the last season. But now the timeline is all over the place. The structure in which that house is sitting is all cracked, everything. And we're right back with Miss Minutes and Ravonna Renslayer from the last episode. We don't have to wait long for whatever that secret is that is going to make Renslayer very, very angry, according to Miss Minutes. We get it almost immediately. It's just a little hologram of a conversation between Renslayer and He Who Remains. Renslayer is dressed in kind of a hunter-style uniform. And what we basically get is an extended version of that conversation that we heard the recording of in episode 1 of this series that Loki played at the end of this war. The multiversal war, they had the TVAs being created, and it seems like Renslayer is under the assumption that she and He Remains are going to, you know, run it together, and he says to her, you know, you've been an instrumental part in helping us win this war, you're quite a marvel, you know, and they do the whole for all time, always. He says he'll catch up with her, she goes through one of those time doors. He then summons Miss Minutes, who, obviously going off what she said she was made for last episode, like, hey boss, fancy a game of chess? Like, basically it says execute protocol 42, which gave me a very big execute order 66 fight.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was thinking that. Has he been watching too much Star Trek in his spare time, do you think? Star Wars in his spare time, do you think? Because, yeah, it's very Emperor like execute order 66, but at least he's not killing anybody, he's just wiping their minds. But still,
yeah. It says erase the memories, like all of them. And Renslayer is rightfully very angry, and Miss Minutes revealed to her, like, you were an instrumental part. You basically led his army, you know, in that war, and he wiped all your memories. And while he sat in his Citadel the entire time, she was the one running the TVA. And then Miss Minutes puts the idea of maybe we never needed him after all.
Yeah, so things are moving in different directions.
Yeah. I do like when you've only got like 6 episodes and they tease a secret, something to be revealed at the end of one episode where it gets to the right at the start of the first episode and like, oh, we're not going to make you wait. Here's that thing that you were waiting for.
Yeah.
Here's that reveal.
We'll do that straight away.
Mm-hmm. Then we come back to that meeting room, which has the mural of all different faces of Kang as Victor Timely enters the TV through there. It's kind of wandered around. It's kind of a loss for words, you know, coming from the 1800s to a facility like this, to the TV, something he's only ever heard about, to this mystical guidebook that he has. And, you know, Hunter B-15's kind of in shock to see him, because kind of like Loki is, where he just sees, you know, his face, that Kang face. And then Mobius and Loki manage to catch up with him, but he's a bit hesitant after the whole shenanigans the last episode of everyone's buddy chasing him. But they have to basically say, like, you basically need to trust, to, like, come with us and we'll show you. And I do love his response, like, that is not as reassuring as you think it sounds.
Yeah. It didn't sound over reassuring, to be honest. I also like the fact that Victor Time is a bit taken back by seeing all the murals of himself on the walls as well.
Because he keeps hearing about this other versions of himself that Mobius and you know, Renslayer keep talking about. So they basically convince them to come with them back to meet OB so they can try and figure out what to do with the loom. And, you know, it's a nice scene when he, Ouroboros, and Victor Timely meet, and he's like, you're OB? Like, you wrote the TVA handbook? Like, yeah, I did, but I got everything from some brilliant 19th century like scientist called Victor Timely. And then when he realizes that he's talking to Victor Timely, you know, it's like they're both basically internally, they're both fanboying out, meeting their heroes, yeah, as it were.
And Mobius sort of makes he acknowledges the fact that, you know, it makes you wonder which one came first. And, was it Victor Timely or right during the book, or OB during the book for Victor Timely to find? And Moby makes the it's like the snake eating its tail, which is literally what his name Ouroboros means, or the correct spell, or the correct spelling of Ouroboros. I think they spell it a bit differently for his name, but that is what the Ouroboros is. So nice little reference there.
Hey, see, you learned stuff through these shows as well. It is a weird kind of paradox, especially if you think about how far ahead did he remains notes again. He sets up the TV with a guy who, with somebody who will be there for hundreds of years to write a handbook, which will inspire another variant of himself to be create things to help the timeline, which then will help inspire OB, who wrote the time book, who wrote
Inspired Taylor, who's,
you're caught in this endless loop, you know. It's very rare you get a time traveling TV show or film that doesn't have this kind of paradox. You know, a lot of people will make the biggest comparison as, you know, Back to the Future. You know, Marty has to get his parents together so he can be born, so he can go back in time and get his parents together so that he can be born. And he's caught in that endless loop, you know.
Yeah. Time travel, if it ever was possible, is crazy because it's just so full of paradoxes. It probably isn't possible.
So after you're getting all the whole discussion of like what came first and everything, they start making a model of the temporal loop. Basically, the whole issue is that they need to widen the loom's capacity to keep all the branches, so it's to stop everything basically imploding on itself. And he's got this really nice looking model, but he's like, apologies for the model, it's not to scale, I didn't have a chance to put an extra coat of paint on it.
And the models don't look like I only had a chance to do one model.
It doesn't look exactly like anyone, but he's just like, everyone's like, what we need is someone to put on the suit, go down here to the temporal loop, and insert this here. And basically, like, their invention is pretty much only a prototype, but the Tertullian has one of his devices that he went back to get at the end of last episode, which he thinks with the use of that could help them actually make it workable and make this doable. And they do leave this hint here for later on, that there's almost twice as much like radiation out there as there was when Mobius went out, and, you know, Mobius's suit nearly completely disintegrated, so it lets you know that whoever goes out there is even more at risk for when they try and go out. But I do love it because Mobius has done it before. He's like, well, you know, Loki's really going to have to move out there. Like, me? Why is it going to me? Why is it not you? Well, I've done it once, so. Plus, this model looks a lot more like you.
And yeah, and Sylvie's also there, says, it's got a helmet, it doesn't look like anybody.
Oh, speaking of silly buddy, OB throwing shade at Sylvie.
Yeah, like, that's so funny.
Like, all these extra branches, since someone killed He Who Remains, causing all these branches, and ruined my life. And Sylvie very much has a mad bothered looking face on her, like, yeah. So I don't regret it. So Victor Timely and OB kind of encourage each other, like, you know, you think it'll work, you know, like, OB, if anyone can make it, it'll make this work, OB, it is you and I. I do like that it does cut to Sylvie's face, and she's still very much, you know, she's not really sold on having this variant of He Who Remains around, even though she couldn't kill him. So while they're waiting around for these guys to develop something, they need something to do. So Mobius casually says, oh, let's go get some pie. But that just seems to set Sylvie off again about the TVA.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of key lime pie, obviously.
Like, oh, you don't care about what happens to all these people in these timelines while you're sitting around eating your pie. And then she, again, they keep mentioning about Mobius, like, oh, were you never tempted to see what's happening in your timeline? She went, like, you don't even care. You didn't even check to see what your life was on the timeline. Which makes me think, at some point in the next two episodes, we're definitely going to see what bloody
Mobius' life was. Yeah, you would imagine so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they wouldn't throw this many shots, hints towards it, if that wasn't the case.
Maybe he was a jet ski instructor or something, you know, because of his obsession with jet skis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Maybe everyone has little hints towards their life, but it's really just things they're interested in, but they don't know why. But here we get another scene with Judge Gamble talking to Hunter B-15. They're talking about General Docs and everything. And basically Gamble pretty much convinces her that he should, you know, try and get her back on site because pretty much all hands on deck if you want to stop Renslayer, you know, stop the timelines, like the loom from getting out of control. So she does go and speak to her. You do love that everybody Braz try to get back on site with everybody. He's like, oh, you know, I believe it was Galileo who once said, or was it Winston Churchill? And he's trying to go, you know, they don't have the resources to keep us here. She's like, oh, well, you cut the shit. maybe I just have an issue with certain Scottish actors basically try and present themselves in TV shows and really enunciate their Scottishness to try and make themselves understood. But I remember just watching the one playing General Dots. I'm like, wow, you are not good, are you? every delivery she gave just made me hate her even more. Probably unfairly, but that's just my way. But basically, B-15 makes a proposition to them to, you know, basically for them to all be a team together to try and stop, you know, Miss Minutes and Renslayer and try and save the timeline, and gives them some time to think it over. But that while they're letting them think over, they're confronted by Miss Minutes and Renslayer, who basically tell them to join them. And like, you know, see what's happened, you know, I was in charge of TV, everything was running smoothly, I've been gone for mere days, and look what's happened.
I think it's a bit more than just her not being there, but, yeah. You know, talk about being big-headed.
No, overestimating your own sense of importance. But
it's a bit like my manager. I'm sure she expects the shop to fall apart on her day off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I can manage for a couple of days, you know.
I do love, in this scene, the literal, like, no amount of fucks that Miss Minutes gives at every given opportunity, because there's a moment where, you know, Dux is, like, just, you know, reading the riot act towards Renslayer for what she's done, and then looks at Miss Minutes and goes, and you, I expected better from you, and Miss Minutes just smiles back at her, and Renslayer basically offers them to join her and help them take back the TVA. I said everyone who joins her can have their life back on the timeline if they want it. And really, the only one who really takes her up on it is Brad, formerly Hunter X5. And they basically refuse to join her, which leads to a very harrowing scene here. Even though you don't see some of it, it's knowing what's probably happening, given the scene that we had with Brad and Loki in the interrogation a couple of episodes ago.
And Miss Minutes has a big smile on her face as it's happening. She's definitely taking some sort of pleasure in watching them all get crushed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she jumps back into the machine, basically turns it on and comes back out again. She has that smile on her face, and you see her behind her wrist again, more and more giddy as she sees the thing getting smaller and smaller. And I do love that Doc basically says, how does it feel knowing that many of us would rather die than join you? And, you know, I don't think that's really the, you know, the proper getting the last word in that you think it is, Dots, given that you're about, you and several others about to be crushed to death very horribly. But you kind of hear it off screen, but you don't see it. And, you know, it's perfectly sold. The horribleness of it is really sold in Brad, because he can't watch. He does look at one point.
Yeah, he's pulling a face, isn't he? He's not taking any pleasure in it at all, unlike Miss Minutes.
Mm-hmm. But so they say he doesn't want to die, but which is why he's kind of won that side, and he's kind of gotten a little bit used to that life he had in the timeline as an actor. But, you know, he's not happy with the kind of price that others have had to pay for not joining them. So maybe it shows that maybe he's not fully a bad guy in the end. You know, he has been a bit of an arsehole. And then we do get a nice scene with Loki and Sylvie. Sylvie just wandered around really annoyed after the whole Mobius and Pi thing. What did she do? She's absentmindedly wandered into the Pi room.
Yeah, but she didn't mean to, though, apparently.
yeah, that's what they all say. and they both, again, see another discussion between Loki and Sylvie that they've been having throughout the series, basically about whether or not they trust the TV and everything. And she's like, well, what happens, you know, if those three, you know, can't do, you know, putting your trust in another bloody Heat Who Remains variant, everything, like, when do we accept that the TV is broken and we need to start again, everything? And what Loki pretty much says, like, yeah, it's easy just to tear things down, start over. It's easy to just you know, burn things to the ground, but it's even harder to trust people. And they even talk about the whole thing of free will. Like, sometimes, you know, you can't just give people free will and walk away. Sometimes you need to make sure that people are better than he who remains was. And he uses the whole playing God argument, no matter what they do. And I do like the skyline. Loki just looks down and goes, "We are gods," and walks away.
Yeah, it's a good moment between them, sort of. Sylvie sort of playing across her worries that you never know, this new variant could end up being worse, and they need to make sure whoever, you know, whatever they do, it's better than it was before.
Yeah, and again, it's amazing to see that over the course of the last 2 seasons, even though this Loki is the one that's just not the one before, tried to take over New York and everything, he's becoming a lot more trusting of people because of experiences with Mobius and the TVA. I do love he even mentions as an example of, you know, trusting people. He mentions like the plot of the first Thor movie.
Yeah. He said,
my brother was sent to Earth and Bash. I came back. He was different. Like, oh, I thought he was weak, but he now realizes, you know, he's not. It wasn't weakness. You know, because he now trusted humanity and everything. So, and, you know, it's both factual and a good walk-away line that they are basically gods, the two of them.
I do love
that. The end of the little next bit where pretty much everything starts to fall apart in the TV because obviously the loom's getting further and further out of control. Miss Minutes has locked everybody out of using their temp pads and using a lot of their tech. And she'd be like, access denied. Which, you know, big vibes of when they try and get a Death Nedry's computer in Jurassic Park.
Yes.
which, even though, if you remember the scene where they've got that Mr. DNA computerized character, apparently they did take some inspiration for that when they made Miss Minutes. So obviously it's very much an intentional nod to that. But obviously we'll be in that or panicking. But at the And then we get, as things are falling apart, you get to see Loki kind of running around and you're thinking, like, did he take his jacket off? And then you suddenly realise, like, wait, then that's the Loki from episode one who time split into the future. We don't know how far into the future. Now we see him at that point in time as he's wandering. And Sylvie, we just see, because Miss Minutes got fucked up with everything, that's how she got stuck in the lift.
Yeah, that's a good moment. You sort of see him standing there and he's got that little device he had and he's like, I've still got time. And yeah, it took me a second or two to clock that, oh yeah, that's past Loki, I suppose that is now, isn't it? And yeah, it's pretty good. It's almost like this episode, it's all coming full circle from the first episode, which is good to see. Then we also get a bit where that's I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah,
we'll get back to you. Go on.
Yeah. So also, you remember when that version of Loki did time split? He was in that same room, but the doors were kind of closed. But there was nobody there. So that's before everyone goes into the scene later on. He's wandering around because, obviously, as more timelines are growing, everything's getting further out of control. That's what we were wondering, what was happening, because it seemed like everything got even worse when Loki time split there in the first episode. And he's wandering around looking for a device, everything. Sylvia, she's gotten stuck in the lip because of mismatch. She's having to claw her way out of it. And, you know, I do like there's a moment where Loki is wandering around with one of those sticks and he does see himself and he kind of looks at his thing and kind of has that realization of, like, oh, it was me. Which I think I brought up when we did the first episode. I do believe that was a theory going around that it was going to be Loki pruning himself, quite literally. So again, I bring up that point. If there's not a t-shirt at the end of the season get brought out that says go prune yourself, then Marvel is really leaving money on the table. I do love the confusion on Sylvie's face after thinking she saw Loki, then sees him getting pruned, but then sees Loki again, like, I promise at some point this will make sense.
And yeah, then the the phone starts ringing again. And I don't know what it is. What is it about a phone ringing in a dark corridor that's so scary? They put it in like horror video games and all sorts. And it's just something really unsettling about a ringing phone in a dark corridor. And then they completely subverse that by when he answers it, it's just OB. And he's like, hello, what you been? What's taking you so long?
He's like, yeah, this message is slow. So, because that was all the question. And in the first episode, everyone's like, oh, where? Who was on the phone and the TVA? And there's like, oh, yeah, it was just OB.
Yeah.
Although we should mention that at one point, Mobius comes back to check in on Timely and OB, and he's coming with a cup from that hot cocoa machine and everything. And that is just blowing Victor Timely's little mind.
Like, oh, yeah.
Cocoa machine? There's a machine. And he takes one of the hunters with him, and he pours a cup, and he gives it to the hunter. As he turns around to get another one, you see the hunter, as he's taking his drink, he gets pruned as well by Renz. I can't remember if it's by Renz or by X5, but
I think it's X5.
Yeah. Who then takes him to Renz Lair in Miss Minutes and basically wants information about these devices and everything. And like, you're going to want to know what I have to say. I think he pretty much is trying to stall them for the most part, and they can kind of sense that. But when they're on the phone too, it'll be actually like they mentioned also that Miss Metz is getting in, is fucking everything up by, you know, messing with the system. And he basically said, I could try and reboot her, which would kind of take her offline briefly, but he said he's worried about what would other things would take offline. Like what? Well, it would stop the thing that damages people from using magic in the TVA. And we'll be looking and Sylvie look at each other, and then goes, turn it off! Because that was a big part of season one where they, neither of them could use their magic while they're in the TVA. But I do like when they do take her, like, Miss Minutes offline, she kind of starts, like, glitching, and Sylvie, she's starting, like, and then Victor Timely, because he doesn't start, goes, like, well, mockery is not necessary. And then, as she's bit after, I have to tell you something. And then kind of, she's like, oh, what's she going to say? And she just goes, you'll never be him. And then, poof, she's gone.
Yeah, it's quite a good scene, the way she goes, like, all the little different variations of her as she's getting powered down, which is quite good, yeah. And she's going to say something nice to him, and then it's like, you'll never be him.
Yeah. And it, like, she turns into this weird, like, analog, like, clock.
Yeah.
Like, showing us, like, how she's developed. I was like, you'll never be. Like, hey, I'm this man. And then X5 gets basically enchanted by, I believe it was probably by Sylvie or by Loki, but because you don't see what happens, he just walks out in the dark corner and you just hear Loki's voice going, hello, Brad. Fancy a rematch? Perfect to what happened in episode 2. And then he basically, they use him to prune Renz Lair, which has me wondering, like, what happens? Like, we know what happened to that Loki that got pruned because he goes back to the first episode, but what happens now when you get pruned after the whole thing of them stopping Goliath? Do people still go to that weird place with all the other Lokis?
You would assume so, but yeah, no real idea.
Because, you know, it's different from, obviously, you know, season one, where, like, before we went to that place, everybody assumed that pruning was death, so everyone thought, did they just kill Loki? And Mobius like, oh no, they just took him to a different place. That was a big thing. And plus, when we get to the end of this fourth episode, a lot of people have been pointing out, like, Marvel really do big cliffhangers in their TV series at the fourth episode. And as far as when I started looking back, I was like, oh yeah, they do, because episode 4 of the last series of Loki, they had the bit where we thought Loki was killed until he woke up in front of all those variants of himself. We had, I think it was episode 4 of WandaVision, where we got the big reveal that, oh yeah, this is Wanda doing all of this. Episode 4 of Falcon Winter Soldier ended with John Walker basically crushing that guy's head with his shield. I'm sure there's other examples. Oh yeah, but the ending of episode 4 of Moon Knight, but Steven wakes up in a mental asylum thinking, has this whole series been an illusion the whole time? That's how they get you. Gotta watch out.
You've done your homework on this. Your episode 4 theory.
well, I've seen other people, basically it's based on what other people have been saying about it, and I've seen them posting it. I was like, oh yeah, now that you mention it. I'm pretty sure that it was the end of episode 4 of Miss Marvel. She realizes she's accidentally gone back in time. So it's like, bear that in mind for future series, is watch out for episode 4.
So that's those when this shorter series, that's where shit hits the fan, episode 4.
Because you'd think it would be episode 3 because it's the midpoint, but no, they subvert you, then it's episode 4. But anyway, I don't remember where the fuck it was. Oh yeah, they pruned Renslayer, they got Timely back, like, oh, I'm happy to see you. He's like, he's acting all chuffed and everything. And they get everybody to that room where they can go into the loom and try and implement their plan to help save the timeline. Timely's very hesitant to put his head in that machine that gets a scan of his temporal aura, because also they need a variant of he remains to access it. He goes, is it safe? Theoretically, we haven't really had a chance to test it. But you know, he slowly but surely puts his head in it, and he scans him, and they might scare everything online. And originally, Loki wants to be the one to go out there, but Timely basically volunteers himself, you know, because he knows how it works, and you know, he wants to prove that he can, you know, he can be brave and all that. Which is like, all right, this is fair. And now you could give me said, you'll win £1,000 if you can guess what happens next. I could have maybe guessed this, but we've been really, really, really low down on my guesses.
If I only had one guess,
this wouldn't be the one I went with.
No, I did not see this ending come in, not at all.
So basically, you remember when Mobius said he could really only move very slowly, so like you need really a book it, you need to get there as fast as possible. So like, given this thing, only Timely knows really how to use properly, because it's partly his invention. And they need it basically. They stress the importance of needing a variant of He Who Remains, and this is the only one of the more innocent ones that they could have found. He opens the door, and within 3 seconds of running out, he's gone.
Yeah,
he gets ripped apart by the radiation into little bits of strands, kind of like the way that Wanda ripped apart Mr. Fantastic in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, it did not last that long at all. I was not prepared for that. I really wasn't.
No, and the fact that he runs it, lets it a really blood curdling scream as it happens, because like it instantly happens, and it's the man pretty much had a very quick but clearly a very painful death, and everyone is just like, we're all left Cosmat watching at home, just as the characters are. They're just like, what the hell happened? Like, what do we do now?
Yeah, and then you just see like a big bright light as everything's sort of going wrong, you assume, and then the screen goes black, and that is it. So, well, a cliffhanger to leave us on. Has time itself been destroyed? Is everyone going to get reset back to the beginning? Yeah, it's leaving quite a lot of questions going into episode 5.
Oh, and they tease the idea that, you know, any variant of Kang that shows up is very dangerous, but Timely was kind of set up almost as one of the few good ones. And then he comes along on this journey when he trusts them, and he says, you know, you need to trust us. And just as he wants to, you know, step up and do his part, the poor guy gets himself killed. And also, you should mention right before the light shines, you know, it cuts up right up to Goki's face as right before it cuts to black. You hear cracking a little bit, like the glass above the doors is going to, you know, like the idea that it's all going to burst, it's all going to, you know, raid it upon what bad things are going to happen to them. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, get everyone too excited after this big cliffhanger, but supposedly the people behind the show have basically said, like, oh, just wait till you see the last two episodes. Like, I'll say, We've talked about it, especially you have, Carl, that this being one of the best things that Marvel's ever done. But they said this may be these next two episodes may be the best two episodes of Loki that they've done so far, which, considering the praise that we've heaped on it so far, is very much a bold statement to make.
Yeah, let's hope they're not setting us up to be let down, but the quality of the show has been not consistent so far that I definitely think it'll be an episode to look forward to.
I really think whatever happens, like with, you know, the radiation and the timeline expansion, that it's going to be a case of like they end up all getting separated, they end up in different periods on the timeline, and now need to come back and try and basically save the TVA before it's too late. And also, we need to figure out what the bloody hell happens to Renflair and to Miss Minutes, and how they factor into the end of this. And plus, the fact they apparently said Jonathan Majors was going to be in most of the episodes, and in only a second episode, the Whitworth variant he was playing was killed. So are they going to have to go back to an alternate Victor Timely? Are they going to have to go to a completely different variant altogether? It's almost a good thing, I think, that they leave you so many questions going into these next two episodes.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're probably going to see most likely perhaps a more dangerous variant of him in these last two episodes, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what else there is to Julius say, because really anything else we see is reckless speculation. And I think if we've seen over the last couple of Disney Plus properties, whatever theory you have, more often than not, as you regularly speculate throughout the series' run, very rarely does that ever actually come to fruition, with the exception of the theory that, if you had the theory that Loki pruned himself, which turns out was very true.
Yeah, that was quite a logical and reasonable assumption to make, though, judging on events that have happened so far. But yeah, who knows what's going to happen on these last two episodes, and I cannot wait.
Mm. It's going to be very interesting for us, because next week's, I think, last episode of this and the last episode of JNV, and then they've got the finale of this the very next week. And so also we will be doing a kind of a series overview of JNV after we've done this. We won't be doing episode by episode on that, but we'll cover that after Loki. So up after the next 3 weeks, Carl, we're going to have to get our thinking caps on and think what we're going to cover next, because, talking about things you don't hear a lot about, Echo is still, from what I hear, is meant to come out at the end of this year. But I don't really recall the last time I heard literally anything about it.
No, same here, but I'm sure we'll think of something to talk about somewhere.
Because I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago about how completely reworked Daredevil's had to be. I'm wondering, given that this is meant to tie into that, given that had Kingpin and Matt Murdock in it, that are they going to have to reshoot some stuff for, go back and do some reshoots on Echo to make it fit into that show, like kind of lead into it better? Who knows? So a lot of questions around Marvel everything, but we're going to stick with Loki for now, because that's where all the excitement is.
Apparently they've hired a writer from the Netflix Punisher series to come on board and get things back on track, and they want him to suit up as Daredevil a lot sooner than they had done. Apparently there's quite a few episodes in before he actually becomes Daredevil. So I can sort of see why they weren't happy with how it was going, because, you tune into a program called Daredevil, and you expect to see him as Daredevil at this point. I mean, the way the first series was structured, you can sort of understand it, but on this new series, I think you don't want it to be too many episodes.
I've got a little thing up about here about the person they brought in, Dario Gardathan. Literally, that's how it's spelled here. Dario, I'll go with the first name, who is coming as a showrunner, like you said, was showrunner on Netflix's Punisher. His other main credit is the Tom Clancy adaptation of Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan, the TV series that was on, I believe it was Prime, with John Krasinski as Jack Ryan. My brother's watched that. He said very good things about it. So clearly in good hands here. But also, apparently, Justin Benson, Aaron Moorhead, a co-directing team, have been brought on to helm some episodes of the show. And among their recent directing credits are episodes of Loki Season 2. So there's some Loki involvement in Daredevil as well. On the directing side. So, positive steps at least seem to be taken.
But they are hoping to keep some of what they film. So I do, when they do that, you can end up with a bit of a clusterfuck. So hopefully they do this cleverly and it'll all, work pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, hopefully. And, I'm going to see what Easter guys from Loki can do, because, again, they've been idle on this shorter series, six episodes, but now they've got an even longer series. I'm wondering if they might go back on their thing of doing, 18 or so episodes or whatever it is they were going to do. Maybe they'll try and take a few episodes out of it to try and shorten it down and make it be a lot more seamless, and maybe cut out some of the courtroom scenes, which seemed to be, from the reports, taking up a lot of the early run of the show, because, you know, they're describing it as being feeling more like a courtroom drama. So maybe they'll basically be cutting around the courtroom side of things and adding more potential action beats for the show.
Yeah, they might need to make it shorter now if, you know, they've had to reshoot a load of stuff because of time constraints, but who knows? I still think the original episode count was too many. I felt 13 was more than enough, to be honest, on Netflix.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Daredevil was the only one to properly make the 13-episode runtime feel like it was the right amount. You know, with the exception of Jessica Jones Season 1, none of the other Netflix shows felt like they needed that many episodes, in my opinion. And, you know,
I'll
credit to Kristen Ritt and everything, but bloody David Tennant's absence left a notable dip in quality for Jessica Jones.
Yeah, it really struggled after the first season. And Luke Cage started off okay, but that lost a fair bit of steam in the last few episodes of the first season, and the second season wasn't that great.
Yeah, and then you've already had Iron Fist, which
less said about that, the better. The only good thing about Iron Fist is Jessica Henwick.
They did a second season of Iron Fist, and I tried twice to watch it and never got past the third episode. I should tell you everything you need to know about that. I mean, Punisher I liked, but it was still not nearly the quality of Daredevil.
Yeah, I didn't mind, but I think season two of Punisher was perhaps the better one there, but yeah.
Anyway, but going back to Loki, or where our focus should be, we've talked about the episode, Carl. What you obviously are a big supporter of Loki, and we're going into a very interesting period of the show, the last two episodes, and we've been promised a lot of these next two episodes. But what would you give out of 10 your rating for episode 4?
I think I'd give it a 9. You know, I think it's a solid episode, and I like the way, as I said earlier, that, you know, it sort of comes full circle from the first episode with the reveal of who prunes Loki, and a lot of things that were left open-ended ended being answered and making sense. And it's just a really well filmed and acted piece of television, to be honest.
Yeah, I really like the way they cut that scene together of, like, when you realise that's past Loki, we see him running around that airspace with Sylvie in the elevator, you know, and you realise that's why she was in there. And then that scene from behind past Loki where you see current day Loki suddenly realising that that's himself and realising he's got the prune sticking his hand, like he's the one that did it, everything. And again, yet another paradox within this bloody show. So I think a 9's probably, like a 9 is worth it. So we're already going into the 9's territories. We've been about 7, 8s for the last couple of episodes, now we're going into the 9. So will we see a 10 in the next two episodes? Stay tuned to find out.
Oh, an 11 out of 10 in the thingy dome.
And the TVA dome. There we go.
That's it.
But, Carl, what have you been up to? You've been up to some football-related things on the Rogue of Pain Street, if you want to tell people about that.
Yeah, me and Lee did, because of the football part, because everyone else was busy, so it was just me and Liam shooting the breeze about our football teams and other goings on in the Premier League. And it was special guest editor, Scott McLeod. So, you know, you've got to listen to this one now.
see if you can tell, you know, where my editing points come in, where you can tell that I didn't steal from someone else's. It's mostly in the music and the intro and outro, if I'm honest with you.
Especially the outro. But, and hopefully we'll be back with some more Rank Bank as well. We're trying to put together a Game of Thrones one, which has taken a lot longer than we expected. So hopefully we can get all three of us scheduled. We can crack on by that and get that put out at some point.
By the time you're listening to this, hopefully the boys one is out. It has been scheduled, so it should be out now. And then very soon you'll hear part one of the the rank bank for Game of Thrones, and we're going to do part two hopefully later on this week. Then, we're probably going to have only scratched the surface still, like we've done two families so far in the first part. We'll maybe try and get through as much of the other families as we can, and then God knows how many other characters through the season.
Yeah, because our benevolent leader, Reese, he won't leave anyone out. So I think we could be looking at a good five or six parts here.
He is convinced that so many characters have so many, even the minor characters have a part to play, which is why they need to be included. I don't know why we had to go through every single family dire. Well, why couldn't we all do them one? All do them as one, but that's Reese's way. Are we going to do the fucking crow that Bran went into as well? You know, the station. You know, it's because he's read the books as well. That's why he thinks everyone's so important.
Yeah, bless him.
What are you reading? Reading's for nerds. Yeah, round back staging for that. Rogue Retro Smackdown is back. Me and Paul bridging through an episode that we tried twice to record, and even then the episode of Smackdown we're talking about wasn't very good, so we tried to breeze through that episode as much as we can. Stay tuned for the episode following that, which is partly recorded already. We're in that next episode. We'll be talking a little bit at the start about our experiences of going to see Impact Wrestling, now going to be called TNA again, when they came to Glasgow recently, which was a fun time had by all. Scott and Paul's Ram podcast, some stuff happening there. I've got to know what is happening. There's some episodes I think we've recorded that I don't know if I've scheduled yet. There's too much happening with me and Paul right now. I need some space from that, man. There's all sorts of other stuff happening here in Rogue Opinions. Check it all out in the back catalog, where you get your podcasts. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean. Wherever you get your podcasts, give us a like, rating, review, and platform of choice. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Rogue_Opinions. Follow me, it's Scott McLean 86. Follow him at Carlos_Fire80. And yeah, you know, much like trying to stop time from collapsing, or you know, making sure you can cut down some Game of Thrones characters, Odin is not easy.
No, nothing's easy anymore, I don't think.
Life is just a string of things that are not easy anymore, not as easy as they used to be. And on that cheer note, bye everyone.
Bye.
Pride's like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they